prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning. This is where faith and reason meet.
That's right.
And we are talking today about evil. Why does evil exist?
And we've talked about this before, you know, but it always bears going over again because people always ask questions about, you know, things always happen. Bad things always happen and can always make someone really rethink.
Exactly.
What's going on in their life.
Exactly. And, so we're going to answer, at least give one of the good answers as to why evil exists. If God is all powerful and he's a good God, why doesn't he just get rid of it? Also, we're going to look at Gilgamesh, a book that some people think shows that the Bible is just a copy of other ancient documents. That's not right. A big deal. And we're going to, as always, do a Bible contradiction.
Yeah.
So
I can add Bible contradictions.
So we had a question sent in. It was a week or two ago, and it's a really good question, so we wanted to go ahead and answer it.
All right. The question came in via email, and as always, you can always email us or
truthrevolution.tv is our website.
Yeah.
And you can send an email to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
There you go. And this question came
in. Or you can call Dave on his cell phone. His number
is... Let's not do that. A silly boy. All right. With the Gilgamesh epic and the Atrocis epic predating the writing of the biblical flood, how do we know Moses didn't borrow from those other stories? That was the question.
Okay. And so what this, I don't know who it was. I don't think there was a name attached. Whoever it was saying this book, the Epic of Gilgamesh, in the book that it might have copied from, the Atrahasis epic, they say these things came before the book of Genesis was written.
Right.
And they talk about a flood. So didn't Moses just copy them?
Hmm.
Well, let's be honest here.
I'm a little worried.
You should be worried.
Yeah, I think my faith is going to crumble right
Stop.
Now. You hear that? That's the sound of my faith crumbling.
Stop crying about it. The earliest historical Gilgamesh poems are from as early as 2100 BC. So we're talking pretty far back.
Right.
2100 BC, 2000. Now, that was the 4, earliest.
4,000 years ago.
Yeah, about 4,000 years ago. The book of Genesis was written anywhere from 500, 1500 BC. So the Gilgamesh books, the Gilgamesh epic, is definitely, it at least we think, it was written before the book of Genesis was written.
So Moses did copy.
Well, allow me to answer this by asking a completely... I got at least a couple answers for this.
Okay. All right.
Allow me to answer by asking a completely different question for my first response.
Typical.
Typical.
Don't change the subject. Answer the question.
I'm not avoiding. Listen, with the ABC and Fox News reports, predating the 9/11 Commission's report about the terrorist attacks... How do we know that the 9/11 Commission didn't borrow from those sources?
A little bit of conspiracy theory going on.
Well, no. I mean, look, the answer is maybe they did. Does that mean 9/11 didn't happen?
No.
No. So even if these two stories, the Epic of Gilgamesh and the biblical story, even if they're almost exactly the same, it doesn't mean the Bible's wrong.
Right.
And it doesn't discredit the Bible. I mean, maybe the event happened and Gilgamesh described it really well. And the writer of Genesis was like, you know what? This event that happened, Gilgamesh described it really well. Right. I'm going to copy what he said. It doesn't mean the Bible's wrong.
So what you're saying, you can have two totally different sources citing the same event and it's okay?
That's absolutely okay. One source can even cite another source and it's totally okay.
It happens in the newspaper a lot.
It does. You're supposed to do it in term papers if you're in school. So, however,
uh-oh.
Gilgamesh and Genesis are very different. We're going to go over that. But don't get me wrong, there is a common story. But it's not just the Gilgamesh epic. Okay, there are common flood stories from the Greeks, from the Mesopotamians, from the Egyptians, from obviously the Hebrews. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are flood stories in so many cultures.
Right, and you know, what that says to me is that there was actually a flood that happened at some time, and it was pretty huge.
Hey, stop, I'm not there yet.
Sorry.
I'm trying to build a cumulative case, and you're jumping to the conclusion.
Trying to be smart.
Stop being smart. Just be dumb for a little bit.
I'm good at that.
So, but let's go over some of the similarities mm-hmm. between the Gilgamesh story and the Genesis story. Okay. First of all, in Gilgamesh, talks about a big flood.
Same thing in Genesis.
Right. And Gilgamesh talks about a big boat.
Aha. Same thing in Genesis.
Yeah. Gilgamesh, the gods warn a human. And of course, in Genesis, God warns a human. Mm-hmm. Noah.
No.
In Gilgamesh, the flood was caused by a god.
Uh-huh. And in the Genesis, it was caused by the god.
Right. So a similar story there. In Gilgamesh, the flood lasted a long time. Yeah. And in Genesis, it lasted a long time.
It only lasted 2 days.
What?
You said you wanted to be act stupid.
Oh, so. Yeah. Okay, you're acting stupid.
The flood lasted a long time, according to Genesis, actually.
I like how you literally acted stupid, and I fell for it. I'm like, what are you talking about? 2 days. Uh-huh. Anyway, so there are some similarities in the Gilgamesh and the Genesis story, but I want you to notice the differences, because the differences are astounding. And I want you to notice specifically how fantastic and mythical the Gilgamesh epic sounds and how real the Genesis account sounds. Okay, in the Gilgamesh epic, we've got, you know, multiple gods and they're fighting with each other, and one god is like, no, don't send a flood. Another god's like, yes, I'm going to send a flood, and they're arguing about it, and he sends the flood and the gods cry and they're arguing about it, you shouldn't have done that, but I did it, and like they're having this, you know, soap opera moment.
Wow.
In the book of Genesis, it's just one god who says, creation is evil, I'm going to wipe them out.
Mm-hmm. So like the whole Gilgamesh thing with the multiple gods, we talked about that last week or the mm-hmm. week before, about multiple gods.
Yeah.
And it is true. When you see a religion with multiple gods, it really plays out kind of like they're human.
Kind of like they're human. They just exaggerated humans. Right, right. Right. Polytheistic. Now, notice again, one god secretly tells a human in the Gilgamesh epic. He's like all secretive about it and blah, blah, blah. He's like, got to hide this from the other people and the other gods. And in the book of Genesis, just one god, he just openly and plainly tells a human.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not all fanciful, mythical. In Gilgamesh, the human is instructed to lie about the situation to the rest of humanity. Say that the god rejected you and kicked you out of the city, and that's why you're going to build this secret boat. And in Genesis, Noah says, hey guys, warning, danger's coming.
God gives the opportunity for people to be saved.
Right. Are you seeing here, like in the Gilgamesh epic, it's very fanciful. Mm-hmm. And in the biblical one, it's just like, matter of fact.
Right. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people, atheists, would say that they both sound really kind of mythical. You
well,
know what
no,
saying?
Wait, we're getting to the best part, though.
Okay.
Because in the Gilgamesh epic, they make a cube-shaped boat. Now, I just want you to imagine making a boat the shape of a cube. What's going to happen to that boat?
It's going to be a little top heavy.
It's going to fall over. Yeah. It's going to roll over, especially in big waves and storms.
It'll definitely roll.
Talk to your engineer buddies. A cube-shaped boat is not going to work. But in the book of Noah, or in the book of Genesis, Noah's instructed to create a book that engineering standards would legitimately say, hey, this thing can ride large waves. It can exist in an ocean.
It was short, wide, and long.
Yeah. And this boat, engineering-wise, in the book of Genesis, can actually work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real boat. If you calculate, you know, because they're all supposed to put animals in there, if you calculate the Gilgamesh boat, there's only, if I did my math correctly, which I may not have.
Are you kind of doubting your mathematical skills?
If I calculated correctly, there's only 194,000 cubic feet. That is not enough space for all the animals. In the Noah version, there's over 1.5 million cubic feet. Not 200,000. There's 1.5 million, which is big enough to hold all the animals that existed, or at least two or seven of them.
Really? I mean, because a lot of people that I talk to, and this is one of the things that I have a hard time getting around.
What?
You know, is when they say, well, you know, all of the animals couldn't fit in that boat.
Well,
you know, I mean,
yeah, I don't think this is actually a problem. Now, this is a discussion for another show.
Okay.
But just really briefly, I'd like to point out, in our view, because we believe in an old Earth, an old universe.
Mm-hmm.
The dinosaurs weren't around when the Ark was built.
Okay.
So it's not like he had to fit Tyrannosaurus Rex and Brontosaurus.
Well, they are now extinct, see? Could have been the flood. I'm just saying.
Okay, but according to archaeological records, the dinosaurs died out a long time before humans came upon them.
All right, all right.
So we don't have to put dinosaurs on the Ark.
That would have been awesome, though.
Yeah. Okay. Also, in the Gilgamesh epic, all this water to flood this huge area happened in 6 days and seven nights.
Mm-hmm.
In the biblical one, it was 40 days and 40 nights.
Which sounds more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the Gilgamesh, the humans are granted immortality.
What happened to that?
Well, in the biblical version, after it's all over, Noah gets drunk.
Right. Which, I mean, which sounds very human.
It's a very, very real story.
Right. And to be immortal, I mean, if that story was actually true, wouldn't we still be immortal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. I think it was just those particular humans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, they're very different in detail. They probably weren't copied from one another. Mm-hmm. Moses didn't copy Gilgamesh when he wrote Genesis. If he was the one who wrote it, some people think maybe Ezra wrote it or whatever. But Genesis probably didn't copy Gilgamesh because the details are so different. However, and this is important, the Epic of Gilgamesh, Genesis, and many, many other ancient stories all tell of a gigantic flood. Hmm. Now, Dave, give me your conclusion that you were so intelligent.
This tells me that, with a bunch of different cultures having a flood story in their past.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yes.
It wouldn't be like, if it didn't happen, everybody wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, so this means
that it must have happened.
Yeah, I mean, very good. Like,
I'm not eloquently explaining it.
If you have a whole bunch of sources all saying the same thing, that thing probably is true, even if the details are different.
And that stands up in court as well when you have several witnesses that say the same thing.
Right.
You
got different cultures many years after the flood explaining the same event in their own terms. It is exactly what we would expect if there was a historical flood that wiped out most of mankind, that the survivors would go on and their nations would come from those survivors, and eventually they would tell their own version of how humanity was destroyed, and we get different versions of the same epic event.
And back then it was a lot harder for somebody to copy somebody else.
Yes, yes. So. Except what's fascinating is that the Genesis story is rooted in mathematical, engineering, and historical realities, and not mythical stories, not crazy myth.
I'm in
So a very, very cool question. I know we spent almost half the show on that because I thought the question was just so great.
Yeah. Well, it's important to know.
Yeah. But on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about evil and why evil exists and why God would allow that.
And we're going to do a Bible contradiction.
That's right. So, hey, go over to truthrevolution.tv. You can check out our old shows. You can check out some truth shots, 1 or 2 minute pieces of information. Right. And
even support the show. Thank you to everybody who has.
Yep. We'll catch you on the other side of the break. Go to truthrevolution.tv. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. KFAPA.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does a dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law?
How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. And we're talking today about Why is evil and why does it exist?
That's right. We actually, in the last few weeks, we've been doing a series kind of going through C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. And in there, Lewis is talking about how evil can exist. And it's strange thing that an all-powerful God who is in authority over our world would allow evil. Right. I mean, it's kind of strange.
Right. And we get a lot of questions about that.
We do.
And a lot of people are really concerned about, why would a good God allow evil to exist?
Yeah, I actually think it's one of our most common questions. Yes. And Lewis says, quote, "Anyone who has been in authority knows how a thing can be in accordance with your will in one way and not in another." Now, what does he mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in charge of anything?
Yeah.
I think about kids.
Right.
I have kids. I'm in charge of them. And sometimes there are things that are in accordance with my will in one way and not in another. Like the children will make a decision. And I think, you know, that's not exactly what I would have them do, but I would like them to experience this for themselves so mm-hmm. that they know better.
Right.
Or if you're in charge of a club or a group.
Right. Well, talking about kids, the same thing happens like when you're a teen. You know, when you're getting later in your teens, you're like, I want to move out on my own and I want to be my own person. It's like, you know, they're not ready.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, go ahead.
Yeah. And you're just waiting for when that 17-year-old, 18-year-old not has a baby, but cries like a baby.
Right.
But the same thing is God, he's in authority and he can both see us doing things and allow things that's in accordance with his will. And not in accordance with his will. A good example in the Bible is when Saul was made king over Israel. He didn't really want the nation of Israel to have a king.
Right.
But he allowed it and he chose Saul. So he was the one who chose Saul, but he really didn't want them to, but he allowed it. And so it was both against his will and in his will at the same time. And this is kind of how evil exists, is what Lewis is saying. God has allowed evil to exist. And we're going to explain why here in a little bit. But he's allowed it to exist. And that is within his will. But it's also not his desire that we do evil. So it's not contradictory, necessarily, to say that evil exists and a God exists who doesn't want evil. That can actually happen, that God would exist as something else would exist that he doesn't like.
Right.
That's possible.
Well, particularly, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to skip ahead here, but particularly because, I mean, he gives us free will.
Stop skipping ahead, Dave!
Sorry.
No, but you're exactly right. We're going to talk about free will, but I say first, let's do the Bible contradiction. Okay. What do you think about that?
Bible contradiction.
Today's right. Bible contradiction is brought to you by the King James Bible.
It's actually brought to you by the people, the good fine folks at evilbible.com.
Oh, we love them.
Yes, we do.
We love everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Especially them.
Well, we like it when people actually challenge us, because if you're never challenged, how do you expect to grow?
That's exactly right.
So here's the contradiction they found. Kind of a dichotomy here. God is to be found by those who seek them versus God is not to be found by those who seek them. Okay, two verses. Matthew 7:8 says, "For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And in same way in Proverbs 8:17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." However, in Proverbs 1:28, it says, "Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me."
Okay.
What's up with that?
First of all,
"I love you, and if you seek me, you'll find me." Ah.
But if they call, I won't answer.
Yeah, I won't answer, and you'll never find me.
Okay. First of all, we have to remember the most important thing is that we remember in our acronym to solve Bible contradictions, mm-hmm. we have C-R-A-C-K-E-D, and D stands for dialect. You have to understand the genre of the book that you're reading. And Proverbs is not a book full of promises. It is a book of wisdom.
Right.
So Proverbs chapter 1 is talking to us and is giving us general principles. It is not saying, hey, here's an exact proof. Every time something happens, it's going to be exactly this way. For instance, the book of Proverbs says that if you raise a child up the way he should go, he won't stray from it. But that's not true all the time. Sometimes right. children disobey. So Proverbs, the genre, is just wisdom. Generally speaking, if you teach a child what to do, he'll grow up to be a good, decent citizen.
Generally speaking.
So, generally speaking, Proverbs chapter 1, it says, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. This is giving a principle. What kind of principle is it? We also have to look at, in our acronym, CRACT, C-R-A, the author.
Mm-hmm.
Who is writing this? What was the author's intention? Well, let's go ahead and look back at Proverbs chapter 1. And in chapter 1, you see very clearly that it is not God who is talking.
Really?
It's wisdom who is talking.
Oh.
And it says, how long you who are simple, how long will you love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? Repent. In other words, it's saying, look, wisdom is standing here. Wisdom is waiting for you. But if you reject wisdom, you're going to wish that you had not done that. That's all the book of Proverbs is saying. It's not saying that God will reject you when you call. It's saying that wisdom will reject you if you haven't listened to it.
And that makes sense.
It makes total sense because every one of us knows that if you don't take advice, if you don't listen to wisdom, you find yourself in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there going, I wish I would have listened. And you cry out, but wisdom's nowhere to be found because right. it's too late. And that's the answer for our Bible contradiction today. It wasn't God that was talking. It was wisdom.
Bible contradiction.
See, that's what I get.
What?
What? I looked at the passage and I'm like, wow. This kind of seems like it might be a legitimate one. If I had actually sat down and read the entire context,
yeah,
I would have known.
That's right. Yeah, C for context is another mm-hmm. good one.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I didn't even look at this before we started.
Right.
I didn't look it up or anything, but you pull it out and you immediately know. If you see a contradiction using the book of Proverbs, wait a minute. Proverbs isn't promises, it's principles.
Right.
And so then you have to look it up in context and wait a minute. Proverbs, most of the time, is not God speaking, it's wisdom or something like that. That's,
right.
you know, thinking, awesome. Talking. So anyway.
That's an awesome tool.
Yeah, back to evil and why evil exists, because we only have another 8 minutes here. Lewis says this, C.S. Lewis says, some people think that they can imagine a creature which was free, but has no possibility of going wrong. I cannot.
Right.
If a thing is free to be good, it is also free to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you agree with that assessment?
Right, because otherwise, it's not free.
Exactly. And this is why evil exists. God has made us free. And he cannot, or he chose not, he will not. It's really stupid to think that you could make a free creature mm-hmm. that can't do bad things.
Well, we're free, but only free to do good.
See, that's not free. If you're free, you're completely free to choose good, to choose bad, to choose nothing, which is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
If you're free, you're free to do whatever you want. And God made us free creatures.
Well, what would a world look like if it were if God said, well, you're only free to do good? I mean, would it be basically we would be creatures without thought of our own? Without a free will, I mean, obviously.
Well, we would be robots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, imagine a scenario. God says, okay, well, I'm giving you free will, but you're only free to do good. So, you know, maybe every time we think of something bad, you know, we get electrical shock.
Right.
And God, like, short circuits us. And those creatures aren't truly free. Now, actually, if we were punished every time we did something bad, that we'd still be free.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, but if we genuinely weren't free or if we genuinely weren't able to make a bad decision, then we wouldn't genuinely be free.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And therein it shows us how much God actually loves us by giving us that freedom.
Well, and this is what we're getting to. We call this the love defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Love is the greatest good. And to love, a creature must be free to choose.
Amen.
God wants us to be able to love. So God wants us to be able to choose to love. Freedom being able to be free to choose love, freedom also entails the possibility of doing evil.
Right.
That's just reality. But denying freedom would be evil because it's opposing the greatest good. So God wouldn't have made creatures who can't choose to love. Therefore, it's a greater good to allow freedom and the possibility of evil than just to not allow evil at all.
Right.
So God made the best choice possible, which was to make creatures who could love, but also choose to do wrong.
Amen. Because really, I mean, if we were just made to love just without thinking, then where is the love? I mean, like you were saying, it's
exactly.
Like, that's not love.
That's not love.
That's just like saying,
if there's no choice, it's not love.
Yeah, I'm going to hit a feeder bar and get love. That's right, that doesn't that's, work.
No, that's a full belly, mm-hmm. but it's not love. You know, and there's two different types of logical arguments used to resolve the problem of evil. One of them is called a theodicy, and that's justifying the ways of God to men. Okay, that would be if a building collapsed and killed a bunch of people, and you get guys like Pat Roberts or you know coming out and saying,
"Oh, we're evil, and God's destroying us."
Well, and they're saying, "Well, the people in that building they rejected God, and so God destroyed them." That's a theodicy. We're explaining, "Wow, something bad happened, and this is why God allowed it." That's called a theodicy. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes there's good answers to those theodicies, right? There's fine answers for that. There was a guy who was blind in the Bible, and people said, "Why is he blind?" And Jesus said, "He was made blind so that the glory of God could be shown."
Right.
And then Jesus healed him.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
at that particular time, God's glory was shown.
Yes. And so Jesus was giving a theodicy. He was justifying the ways of God to men. There's also a defense, and the defense of evil, or the defense of the problem of evil, is saying that atheists have failed to carry their case that evil is incompatible with the existence of God.
Right.
And that's what we're doing here with the love thing. We're saying, look, atheists, you have not shown us that evil is incompatible with God, because we think evil can exist the same time God does, because evil has to exist if we have free will to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I have to make out the point that evil isn't a substance. Evil is simply the lack of good.
Right.
So when it's not like we've chosen something over God, we've just simply not measured up to God's standards because we haven't made the choices that God would want us to make.
So, I mean, and that is obviously our sin nature, and being sin nature, love actually overcomes that. So if you have a lack of love, of course you fall back on that sin nature, which is evil.
Right. Correct? Right. Yes. Yes. Of course, Adam, when he was in the Garden of Eden, he had no sin nature.
Right.
He still had the ability to choose right or wrong. He wasn't influenced either way except by Satan. And so he freely, completely freely, without a sin nature, chose to do evil. And that kind of screwed things up for the rest of us.
Thanks,
for
Adam.
Quite a while. But really, I mean, God knew that was going to happen, because free creatures who are free to choose right or wrong will eventually choose wrong at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the whole thing is here, we were designed to love. You and me and every listener out there, we were designed to love God, to love each other. This is the way we were made. And so we were made to be free will creatures who can choose good, but who can also choose evil. And this is what's interesting, is C.S. Lewis continues, and he says this: a car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There's no such thing.
Wow. Deep words of wisdom.
That's really cool.
Yes.
But it shows we were designed as creatures to love, but not love ourselves. We were designed to love God.
Right. And one of the things that I keep going back to is what Jesus himself said, that love is the essence of everything.
Yeah, the fulfillment of the law. Mm-hmm. If you are loving, you're fulfilling every law that exists. So that, I mean, that's every biblical law, at least.
Right.
I mean, you may not be wearing your seatbelt. I don't know.
Well, then you don't obviously love yourself.
Yeah, or your kids.
All right.
But anyway, hey, so thanks for listening today. Go to truthrevolution.tv, our website, and you can get other shows there. You can listen to some of our truth shots, or you can donate.
Yes. Thank you to all of our supporters.
Yeah, we want to give a huge shout out to everyone who supports the show. You know who you are, and you know that we appreciate you. You make this thing happen. So hey, take it home today. Love is the greatest good, but to be able to love, we have to be free. And to be free, we can do wrong. And that is why evil exists, because God wants us to love. Amen. So have a great week. God bless. Coming out to Revolution Church this morning, 10:15 a.m. And go to truthrevolution.tv.
See you next week.